How do you do, ladies and gentlemen? This is Nicholas Britsky of the Art Department, the College of Fine and Applied Arts, speaking to you from the Architecture Building on the campus of the University of Illinois, where now is on view the exhibition of contemporary American painting. Good painting, like good music, is its best and most beautiful self when encountered in the original. Although reproductions of works of art are becoming more perfect, none as yet has been able to capture the true depth of color, the richness of texture and tone, and the sensitivity of line so vital to the true personality of the original. At a time when their aesthetic taste is in its most formative period, young people living away from large art centers acquire a major portion of that taste from the newspapers, magazines, and art textbooks they read. They seldom have an opportunity to see first-rate art of the type now on view in the Architecture Building. Seated around me now are six young people who have had a chance to see 147 characteristic examples of contemporary American painting. Their reactions and opinions of these paintings will be the subject of our program. Our panel, then, to discuss modern art and modern youth is composed of students from the Champaign-Urbana high schools, two students from Champaign High, two from Urbana, and two from University High. Let me introduce them to you. From Urbana, we have Clarice Tenbrook. What year are you at Urbana?
Senior. Clarice?
You're a senior.
Mm-hmm.
Are you going on to college?
Yes. Here at the University of Illinois.
Fine. And also from Urbana, we have Miss Carmen Morey.
How do you do?
How do you do, Carmen? I understand you're quite a veteran on radio work.
Oh, just a little bit, not too much.
You have a program on WKID, do you?
Oh, it's one of the local stations.
Uh-huh. Then from Champaign High, we have Miss Joyce Weesey.
Hi.
How are you, Joyce?
Fine.
Are you going on to college?
Yes, I am, here at the University of Illinois.
Do you have any favorite subjects now at high school?
Well, art.
Oh. And also from Champaign High, Dennis Keith.
How you do?
How are you, Dennis?
I'm fine.
That name sounds familiar, Dennis.
Yeah, my father's an architect over here. Runs around the building a little.
I thought I've seen a Keith around here. From University High, we have Miss Nancy Working.
Hello.
Nancy, I understand you're a fan of Ralph Scarlett's. Is that true?
Well, not completely. I'm just interested in what he does.
And also from University High, Philip Stewart.
How you do?
Philip, how old are you?
14.
Now, I imagine that makes you the youngest member of this gang.
No doubt. I'm 13.
Oh. Now, how about who's the oldest one?
I'm 17.
17 here.
17 here.
Wow.
16.
That's good. 14 to 17. All right, now let's start our discussion of modern art and modern youth. But first, let me clear up one misconception about modern art. Many people use the word modern when they mean contemporary, and usually apply that term to pictures they can't understand or are highly experimental in style, such as abstractions and non-objective works. Now, I don't think it is fair to say that one method of artistic expression is more modern than another. One may be more fashionable than another, but it may be just a temporary vogue. Now, for instance, surrealism was considered ultra-modern 10 years ago. Now, there are very few painters painting in that vein. So a broader and more accurate word in referring to present-day artists is contemporary. It seems to include all styles of expression. Now, are there any such misconceptions about modern youth?
Yes, people think that we're wild and everything else. And really, well, modern youth is, well, just modern youth. That's about the only word you can use, because all these paintings and all we kids were born in the modern age, therefore we're modern. And it doesn't necessarily mean we're wild when they just say, well, modern youth.
How about that, then? Do you agree with that?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
Nancy?
I think that modern youth is likely to be maybe more liberal than youth of, oh, two decades ago or something. They are well-read and have more opportunity to be broad-minded than people.
They have a broader interest.
Yeah, more interested in broader interests.
Mm-hmm. What I mean is they're just getting modern mixed up with up-to-date.
Yeah.
And 100 years ago, why, the young kids 100 years ago were modern, but now we're modern. 100 years from now, why, those people will be modern.
Clarice, how about speaking for the men?
Well, I believe they compare us, when they do compare us, that they compare us as a time then, 100 years ago, with the time now, and it just can't be compared, I don't believe. And we try to live up the standards of now, and they want us to live up the standards of 100 years ago.
You say they, who do you mean?
Well, Older generation.
100 years ago.
Well, listen, I heard a story the other day, which is a misconception about modern youth. A southern Illinois family, after it had been deprived of its house and home by a tornado, sent their young boy away to a nearby town to live with a relative. 2 days later, comes back a telegram saying, "Returning Bobby, send tornado." I don't think that applies to very many here. Well, then we can assume that modern youth is any young man or lady living in the 20th century, and modern art is any creative effort done by contemporary artists. How about that?
Agreed. That's right. Yeah.
All right, now let's get into this discussion of modern art. You've seen this representative collection of paintings we've got here. Do you feel that you understand what the modern painter is trying to say, Carmen?
Well, not always. Are you supposed to understand the painting?
You don't have to have a meaning for it, in other words. You can enjoy a painting without knowing whether it's sunset over the Mississippi.
Yes, you can enjoy the color. You can enjoy the way the art... If you want to draw curlicues, why enjoy the way he put the curlicues down?
How about hearing from Joyce Wiese?
Well, it seems like the public comes in and they're looking for something in the picture. They're not looking for the design or the texture or anything. It seems like they're more interested in just what they can make out of the picture instead of the beauty of the design. And so.
Dennis?
Well, I think the artist has something in mind when he does his painting. And if you don't catch what he has in mind, I don't think you can thoroughly understand the painting.
In other words, you feel you have to be a sort of a psychoanalyst and see what the artist is trying to get across. Clarice, how do you feel about that?
I kind of disagree with Dennis. I don't think you do, because how are you going to determine what the artist was thinking? I mean, you may have a different interpretation of the painting, and when he has an entirely different. So I don't believe you can say that you have to think what the artist is thinking.
Nancy?
Well, some people get awfully worried when they can't understand them, and they go around and they enjoy the ones that they can figure out just what the artist meant and so forth. And, well, sometimes you can. It sort of helps, and you can, maybe you like the painting more if you can understand it, but when you can't, that doesn't mean it's too modern for you or too experimental or it isn't any good.
Well, why do people want to have a meaning in a picture so badly? Even these non-objective things, for instance, this painting here by Mr. Weber called Definitely a Couple. Now, I've seen people come up to that painting and start finding a meaning in there. Well, this is a young man and a young lady walking down the street, and that sort of interpretation. Why do people have to have a realistic meaning to a painting? Clarice?
Well, I don't think you have to have. I mean, some people are just imaginative, and you can go up to a picture and, gosh, I see that picture there. I can see a tiger and a lion in there. Well, someone else could come up and, well, I don't see that in there. Where do you see that at? Just as that picture you was talking about a minute ago. A man and woman walking down the street. I didn't get that interpretation. I mean, it didn't strike me as that.
Well, that brings Dennis's remark that it would be very difficult for the person looking at the painting to get the same interpretation that the artist had.
Yeah.
It could. I imagine it could happen, but I think it should be very difficult. Don't you agree?
Yes.
Nancy?
And two people looking at it at the same time will get an entirely different impression, even though they've had about the same background and the same interest, maybe, but they'll just get a different idea of it.
Well, Carmen? That's where I think the very best paintings come out, when an artist definitely wants to show something very dreary and very sad and morbid. Two people should be able to come up to it and see the same thing and feel the same way. The very, very best ones. That's the way I feel about it.
That's a very interesting point. Well, your favorite there, Marc Chagall's The Blue Horse, do you feel that has some of that?
Yes, I believe just about anybody that come up to that, whether they understood it or not, would get some of the same feeling.
Carmen, what kind of feeling do you get when you look at that?
Don't you think it's sort of, well, definitely blue, because the whole thing's blue except for that red in there, but... Have you looked at it close at all?
It's sort of a peaceful blue.
Uh-huh.
Well, you know, Philip has been holding his finger up here for the past 10 minutes. Philip, how do you feel
well,
about that?
Well, how do you know that the artist of Definitely a Couple meant it to be a young man or young woman? I mean, you just may have had an idea or just may draw any designs or
well,
something.
Well, Philip, I didn't say the artist meant that, but I mentioned that I've heard some people trying to get that meaning from that. I'm sure the artist had no such intention.
I think the name is what maybe leads them to that conclusion, but from some of these names you can't get too much of an idea about the painting.
Well, let's go on to this next question. We've got quite a few topics here. What type of painting do you enjoy most? Realistic or abstract or non-objective? Dennis?
Well, I sort of like the abstract because, well, you can see what's going on in the picture, and yet it isn't too realistic. It's not too like a painting, I mean, like a picture.
In other words, you'd rather have a little mystery in the painting rather than be told everything about it.
Mm-hmm.
Carmen?
Well, these people that like paintings where they can tell where every single little line, what everything means, and know all about it. Well, you're liable to just hear them turn around and say they just read a book, and it was all facts, and it was positively dry. And, well, you just don't like a book if it doesn't have something different and something imaginative to it. And you shouldn't like paintings that way, so it's just all dry facts. And you'll hear people walk up to a painting and say, it couldn't possibly have been that way. And he could never have found anything like that to paint it. But he was using his imagination.
Nancy?
Well, it depends a lot on the painting, but I sort of agree with Carmen. You get everything just the way a camera could make it, and then it isn't so interesting.
That's absolutely true, and a camera can do so much better a job of the thing.
Than some people.
Philip?
Well, in a way, I kind of disagree with you. In plumage, that peacock was just as good as a regular shot by a camera. And I kind of like realistic art because you can associate the actual old thing with the picture.
Clarice, you seem to...
Well, I agree with Philip, too. I mean, a lot of people have told me that if you want a picture, you want to see the exact details, take a picture with a camera. But as in this peacock, I think that picture it brings out clearer than any details that a camera can take.
That's true. Well, I might add something to that. You notice the picture is not there anymore. And the reason for that is that the Metropolitan Museum of Art is interested in buying it. And we had to ship it to New York for them to look at. We hope to get it back in a few days. Nancy? And Carmen?
That's just craftsmanship. That isn't necessarily really good painting.
Oh.
And it's talent. I agree there. But the person has gone up behind this peacock, because it's the back of it, and you see this long, beautiful tail, and there's a little still life in it. I believe there's a brass pot of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
And they came right up behind it and just painted it just exactly as it was there. There's no personality in it at all.
Don't you think craftsmanship is necessary in a work of art?
Craftsmanship is necessary to paint all of these abstract things. And you have to get that first, but I don't see that there's anything to that peacock. I just don't like it.
Well, Joyce?
Well, did you see your picture that you had here last year?
No, I didn't.
It was a hand, a couple hands, and a bowl and some bubbles. Well, that was original. It was more of a... Well, it was kind of abstract, but yet it looked exactly like what it was supposed to be, but yet it... Well, I know, it was very detailed, and well, it takes talent to do that. You certainly can't... Well, I think a lot of these paintings would be a lot easier to do if you didn't have talent than... Something like the peacock, where you have so many details. And
Nancy?
Well, I agree that all of them, or most all of them, have talent and craftsmanship, skill and craftsmanship. But I think that the peacock doesn't have much imagination, much originality. I like the one last year maybe better because the hands and the bubbles were more original.
Philip, you wanna defend that?
I kind of disagree with them. Not every artist in this art show could probably paint a peacock as good as she did. I mean, it took a good bit of time, I suppose.
Yeah, there's a lot of truth in that remark. Clarice?
Well, I don't think she was trying to show any imagination in that one. She painted the peacock, and I still uphold the right that I think she did a wonderful job on it. I think that's wonderful because I think some of these abstracts, myself, you could just shut your eyes and start painting and you get the same effect as some of these do have, but I don't know, maybe I'm wrong, but that's my opinion.
Carmen's ready to fight here.
She didn't try to show anything, and she didn't either.
She did.
Oh, I think she did.
Mm.
Well, what do you suppose she tried to do there? Do you think she just tried to mimic the camera, or do you think she felt some beauty and some poetry in that stuffed peacock?
Well, I don't know. I think she was trying to show the beauty in it. I mean, I don't think there was no imagination there whatsoever. What she could have made that peacock abstract and maybe would have liked it better. Carmen would have liked it better, but I like it just as it is. I think that's, I don't know how to say it, but I like it.
Dennis?
Well, I still stick to that. That's more like a picture from a camera than something that's been drawn. Or mm-hmm. If you need to draw it, you should draw something that's not exactly like a camera.
In other words, you should leave the camera work to the camera.
But you couldn't get the colors. There are brilliant colors in there. I mean, when I didn't see it very close when I did, but you couldn't get the detail like that in the camera. Because
Carmen said a while ago that if two people look at the same thing at the same time, well, they should get the same idea. And I think if two people looked at peacock at the same time, they'd get the same idea.